Welcome to the English Florist Podcast. In this special pre-Christmas episode, Linz talks about her experience of teaching wreath workshops over 18 years, sharing some anecdotes and stories along the way, the good, the not so flattering side of human psychology, and why she still loves teaching people to make wreaths.
It is October the 24th, and I'm in my studio, and you can hear the rustling of a wireframe for me to make a mossed wreath. It's definitely full on wreath making season. I think the advertisements for wreath workshops began horrifyingly in August. And yeah, I think there's a bit of competitive wreath making advertising going on to be the first one to book up all your classes. I have to say I resisted because it was August and I just couldn't face thinking about wreath workshops quite so early in the year. What I normally do is when I finished my wreath workshops in the December of any given year, that by the way is Maple sniffing around. Mapes, leave it. Maple's in the studio with me, being a nuisance. What I normally do is pencil in the dates for the following year. And that way I don't book a wedding in and I just know that my host, the Honesty Cookery School, where I teach my workshops, have got the dates in their diary. And so we can just pick up the thread, you know, probably about September. I have to say, a lot of people love making a wreath. And this podcast is all about making wreaths. It's about people, not just florists, wanting to get really, really Christmassy. And the process of making a wreath, it almost heralds the start of Christmas, if you ask me. I think people get really excited about it. There's something really lovely, a bit like decorating your own tree. Who has somebody in? Only kind of really smart venues and super posh people maybe have designers in to do things like that. But generally speaking, most of us like to get a bit festive and get ourselves a tree and decorate it ourselves. And the same with a wreath. It's the same with a wreath. People love to just make their own wreath and kind of, yeah, have it, hang it on the door, and it sort of heralds the beginning of Christmas. It's usually at the beginning of December, although I have to say some people are starting earlier, and I do resist. Where possible, I do resist making wreaths any earlier than the very, very last weekend of November. They will last. They definitely will last. Certainly my wreaths will last. I think wreath making is one of the most common things that I get asked about. Because I've been doing it so long, I began my wreath making when my children were still in primary school. And I was asked by the then PTA if I would come along and do a fundraiser and teach people how to make Christmas door wreaths. And at the time, I had very limited experience, but I agreed because it was all in a good cause. And some of the local parents were working for some large houses where they were able to pick lots of foliage and bring it on the day, on the evening, for people to use to create, in, you know, to make their wreaths. And it grew. It was literally, after the first year, a huge success. People loved doing it. The things I have learned from my wreath making have got nothing to do with floristry. people become really competitive. They can become incredibly territorial, really selfish. And I've learned to manage a class, actually, more than teach it sometimes. Ribbon gate, oh my gosh. There have been occasions over the years where I have put out my ribbons, which are many. I mean, I have boxes and boxes of ribbons so that there's so much choice. And some of the customers have taken reels and hidden them in their handbags, or they've put them under the table where they're making their wreath. And when I've picked it up and said, I'll put that back in the box. No, but I want that one. Well, you can have it at the end of the class, but we haven't actually greened up the wreath yet. Yes, but what if there isn't enough? Well, you know, if there isn't enough, then we can choose a different colour. No, but I want that one. Well, I can cut it for you now, but if you don't want it, then that's the one you've had. Surely it's better to wait to the end and decide when you've looked at your finished wreath what colour ribbon would be best, because believe it or not, it's quite a journey making a wreath. And what else has happened? When the little loop that I tie onto the actual metal frame, on occasions I used, well, at the very beginning of my wreath career, I used to put string beside the actual wreath and then you had to tie it on yourself. And one or two of my customers over the year have not tied it properly into a knot. And as they picked it up and dangled it on their finger, the sheer weight has meant that the knot has come undone and they have fallen on the floor. And I did have one lady that cried and her daughter had to kind of console her, say, "Mummy, it's fine," which of course it was. So it's very interesting asking grown people to asking grown people to take one stem of skimmia because it has five stems on each stem, five sort of flowery bracts, I should say, on each stem. It's amazing how many people are deaf to those simple requests of one stem of that, two stems of that. Please don't cut the tips because you can use the whole length of it. It's a waste. I've given up now, actually. So, and I know anyone that's listening to this who has taught a wreath workshop will completely agree and concur and be laughing out loud and saying, "Yes, Lynns, that's exactly what happens." And in spite of that, I'm sounding like it's just a shocking, terrible thing to do. They're such fun to do. They really, really are. So I still continue to teach wreaths because I genuinely love the look on the wreath makers' faces when they've actually made something that they genuinely couldn't believe that they were capable of doing. And they're just so happy and so proud. And they come back every year. Or do they come back every year? Because that's my next point. My next point is the cost of a wreath workshop. How much does it cost to make a wreath? Well, how long is a piece of string? How much does it cost to make a bouquet? It depends on the ingredients. And if you are going to be foraging for your ingredients to, you know, when you're running your wreath workshop, then yes, potentially it's a lot less expensive. For me, I source the best ingredients that I can possibly source. A lot of them are locally grown and some of them are imported just because I can't get the kind of colours or the variety that my clients would really like to use. And I have to cost in the fact that I'm an experienced florist, wreath maker, and when I come and assist you when you make your wreath at one of my workshops, the likelihood is I'm going to improve it and I'm going to really help you take away something that you're going to be incredibly proud of. And I can't honestly say that of everybody else because obviously I don't go to wreath workshops. I don't see what they're making. What I do know is over the course of the very many years that I have taught a wreath workshop, a lot of people go to a cheaper option and then the following year they come back and I say, "Oh, I didn't see you last year. Oh, no, well, we went to so-and-so, but their workshop wasn't like yours, and it was more money, but they didn't have half the things that you have, Lynns, and we just didn't enjoy the process as much, or we didn't enjoy the, you know, the bon vivant of the occasion." And sometimes I think it's not just as straightforward as giving people ingredients and doing a demonstration and letting them just go and make. I think sometimes you have to be able to make a good wreath to be able to see when somebody is not making a good wreath, or you can actually spot the mistakes that they're making as they're putting their wreath together so that you can step in politely and show them where they're going wrong and make a quick kind of zhuzh of the wreath and set them on their way again. And I don't think that everybody does that. As long as everybody's happy at the end of your day and your customers are returning to you, maybe every other year, if like me, they're deciding to try out a less expensive wreath workshop, you have to play the long game. That's what I've learned in all the years. But I think one of my favourite things is that I've done with my wreath journey is transition from oasis bases to moss bases. And I was very resistant for a very, very long time about changing. In fact, I sort of had a year or two where I straddled moss and Oasis nailer bases. And the reason why I never made on a moss was because I was taught to make on a moss base when I did my very one City and Guilds course a very long time ago. But it was a very, very basic wreath. And we used a lot of holly, which I don't really use in my workshops because it's so prickly and it hurts your hands. And my hands are my tools. And if my hands are throbbing because I've prickled them so much, then there's no fun in that. And given the number of wreaths that I make during the course of the season, I've just decided that I might have a token amount of holly, but I won't have very much. And I certainly won't be using it unless a customer has specifically asked me to incorporate holly. I just don't use it anymore because there are so many other lovely things that look just as beautiful and that are evergreen. So I'm standing here looking at my wreath base, and whilst I've been chatting away, I have applied mounds of lovely sphagnum moss to my metal ring, and it's flat, it's a flat ring. So I've got a lovely kind of rounded mound sitting flatly on my workbench, and I'm using some real wire. And I have used, when I've been teaching one-to-one workshops, string, and string does work, but I just prefer the security of the real wire. It does actually eventually, over a year, 18 months, just decompose. It just crumbles and rusts, and so it does biodegrade, certainly quicker than floral foam does, which is about 100 years, I believe. So 18 months, I have noticed that I can actually, when I've made a wreath from scratch and I have left it outside on my shed door, after 18 months I've been able to literally crumble it down, crumble it into my compost. So they are biodegradable. And if you look after it really nicely and you pull off the moss and you bring your wire wreath ring inside and keep it dry, you will be able to use it year after year because it won't biodegrade if it doesn't have moisture and oxygen to decompose it. So I'm looking at my wreath ring and it's looking very wet. I don't know if you can hear that. It's very wet. The box of moss has been sitting outside and it's been raining the last couple of days. So it's sopping wet, and that's how I like it. I tend to make my moss bases for my wreath workshoppers. It's one element that I feel like they don't need to know how to make it. If they want to, I can show them, or they can buy a workshop, you know, and make one themselves from scratch. It's not difficult to do, but actually getting the right consistency, the right amount of moss, so it's plump, and it will take some heavy stems of spruce and fir and ivy and all sorts of other lovely things. It needs to be the right thickness, and also not so tightly packed that you can't get those stems in. So I feel like if I just take that element away and people come for 2.5 hours and just push the stems in and add their decorations, you know, their fruits and what have you, and their drop of ribbon, and come away having made something which is truly bespoke, it's truly individual, then that's time well spent. And I do think that's enough time to do that with pleasure, rather than worrying that they've got to rush and get on to the next step because, you know, it's taken them this long to get their handfuls of moss. And again, as with anything, I do find some people are really quick and some people are really, really slow. And the quick people will move on and just kind of have free rein on everything. And you know, they've paid for their wreath workshop and they're entitled to use absolutely anything they want. But sometimes I feel like the slower, more meticulous wreath makers get a little bit left behind. And I sense a sense of abandonment in a way. And so I make sure that everybody is kind of up to speed and we do it in sections. So when I say we do it in sections, I have a process for my wreath workshops, which I've honed over the years. And I always start with a demonstration. And my demonstration starts with a fully made wreath. And I hold it up and I pass it around and I show people what they're going to be making today. And then I explain to them that I'm going to use a selection of all the foliage that I have on offer. but they don't have to use all of it. And it's amazing how many people have a dislike to certain things and the love of other things. And whilst they're having a look at it and oohing and aahing and taking in the possibilities, I talk to them about the colour of their front doors with regards to how deep the colour green they go, or whether they go grey-green or whatever, what will stand away from a front door. So if they've got a dark brown or a black front door, maybe something that's lighter with sort of grey-greens, you know, something like eucalyptus, or I'm just trying to think what else would look really nice. Magnolia with its golden kind of copper-coloured underside of the leaf, and that would look lovely. Or maybe some Senecio, that would look really nice too, that's lovely and grey. Or maybe some lighter green ivy, or something variegated like Pittosporum, something light that will lift away from their door, I think is a really valid starting point for people to start thinking about their own wreath that they're going to make. And whilst I'm chatting away and they're looking at the wreath as it gets passed around, I start making my wreath. And I start by casting it off, by getting a bundle, and I teach differently at a wreath workshop to how I make my wreaths in my studio for my customers. And that's with intention, because I have been making hundreds of wreaths for the last 20 odd years, and I'm quick. In 2.5 hours, at Christmas time, people just want to come and make something really beautiful by the quickest method possible. It's not intuitive to them. And so I just apply the technique where you just take a handful of maybe 3 to 5 stems of foliage and you lay it on your wreath and you secure it with your binding, which in our case is real wire. And you pull it, pull it really, really tight, almost like you're cinching in your waist with a belt. You pull it right in so it's really pulled on to the wreath and it's not going to go anywhere. And you just repeat that process all the way around the whole of the wreath until you finish, until you overlap over that starting point. And then you can add your decorations. And those decorations can be simply pushed through that foliage into the moss and they will hold perfectly. And I have to do this in the quickest possible time. So what I normally do is I cast off and then I go halfway or maybe even a quarter, depending on how much I'm chatting and how many questions there are. And then I pick up another one that I've made, which is 3/4 finished, and do another quarter so they can see how I finished it. And then once I've got that all fully greened up, then we can talk about how I would apply the decorations. And so it takes probably 20 minutes and I'm literally looking at the clock trying to cover absolutely everything that I possibly can. And that includes a bit of kind of wreath etiquette and wreath housekeeping, which is unique to me as a teacher. And that is explaining to people that they have to finish the greening up. The greening up process of making a Christmas wreath is the most important bit. It's the part where you're going to get that lovely plump wreath that's going to hang on your door. And a bit like when you're making a pedestal and you've greened it up first, you should be able to step away from that greening up process and think, that is flipping gorgeous and I want to leave it like that. You really should be able to do that. That greening up process, you need to think about having enough of all the different elements of your different combinations of foliage. If you have got a combination of different foliages, to make sure that you've got them all evenly dispersed. So you need to get enough of it and tuck it under your table spot so that you can keep coming back and including a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And during that time, I will be walking around the table and checking in with everybody that's making a wreath and making sure that they are applying the right principles and they're going that the angle that they're putting in is right, etc., etc. And I think usually halfway through that greening up process, you get a handful of people that have almost lost the will to live. And I can go in and they can look at other people who are whizzing along and they're almost finished and they feel like, oh, I've got, you know, halfway through and it's never ending. And I can just step in and really speed up that process and just get them going and get them almost to the end where they can see that there's a light at the end of the tunnel and they can actually add in their decorations. Over the years, I have stopped using all of the bling that I used to use back in the day when I was still using Oasis wreath rings. And for the same reason why I've stopped using Oasis wreath rings, I want something which is much more natural. And you can still have a gorgeous, glamorous, natural looking wreath with all the colour and glamour that one that had the assistance of, you know, sparkly twigs and shiny baubles. My baubles these days come in the form of dried flowers, of cresbidia, of berries, of different coloured, you know, sort of fruits, you name it, there is colour to be had. Dried peppercorns, all sorts of things, and just dried flowers. I'm using a lot more dried flowers than I used to. So I've pared it down a lot. I'm still using lots of things like dried hydrangeas, which are eye-wateringly expensive to include in a wreath workshop, but I think they're worth it. And I use them in the decoration process rather than in the greening up process, so that a little one head, which bifurcates into three or four pieces, can be evenly distributed around a wreath and still look colourful and beautiful. So when I'm teaching the workshop, I show all of those aspects. I don't do it bit by bit, so, you know, everyone goes away and greens up and then comes back to the table. I start and I finish a complete wreath in 20 minutes. And then I encourage people to go away and get their greenery and start greening up. And then when they've finished greening up, they can then go and choose all of their decorations. And I suggest that people just lay them on top of their wreath and kind of think about where they're going to place them. And then I can show them, well, I've already showed them how to secure them, for example. I've moved away from using things like apples, which have been dipped in wax, because they're quite heavy. And again, the cost of all of the ingredients is unbelievably eye-wateringly expensive. And I go back to that whole debacle at the beginning of this conversation when I said, you know, the cost of wreath workshops. You do get what you pay for. And so if you're going in for a, you know, a 20 quid wreath workshop, don't expect to have something that's going to come out, look like it's come out of Harrods. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You're going to get foraged, garden gathered ingredients, and that's it. If you want a luxury wreath, then you need to make sure that your wreath workshop host has got the skills and the know-how to bring all of those luxury ingredients together and know how to put them together into a beautiful, beautiful wreath. And there are lots of different styles of wreath making. And so not everybody is going to be teaching on a wreath base. Not everyone is going to be using a wire frame as their round base on which we actually apply the moss. There are lots of different ways to make wreaths. There's more than one way to skin a cat, as I always say, and they're all right. They're all right, and you just need to make sure if you are looking for a wreath workshop that you are going to the right class for you and your expectations. And so it's always good to see whether that wreath maker has got pictures on their workshop showing the work that they've done before. And they may be brilliant wreath makers, and I really hope that they are also good teachers, because what I've learned over the years is I know a lot of brilliant wreath makers, and a lot of them don't teach because they say they don't enjoy teaching. And I know it's a really surefire way to make money, but it's not going to be a lasting thing if people don't come back year after year. You have to like teaching. You have to be able to help people who don't have a creative bone in their body and yet desperately want to make their own wreath, and you need to enable that to happen. And you've got to be able to step in and assist them to bring up their wreath to speed, so to speak, to ensure that what they take home is going to be worthy of their front door. If they've paid good money, and they probably will have done, they expect to take away something which really does fit the amount of money that they've actually paid you. So if you're a florist listening to this, be sure, don't skimp. It's Christmas. It needs to be generous. You need to be confident with guiding the class, controlling the class, stopping people taking things, more things than they're entitled to. It's a group. Now, I've taught a lot of people over the years. I've taught some really big workshops, which I would never do again. I think I've taught almost 40 people in one go once. And it's just crowd control, because everybody wants you at the same time and you can't be there, and people get frustrated. And so don't teach more people than you feel you can handle. And remember, it's Christmas. They've come for a lovely, lovely time. Don't offer them things that they're not going to achieve. So don't show them the most spectacular wreath that they're just simply not going to be able to make themselves. The ribbon. Oh my gosh. The ribbon. These days everyone seems to be wanting to use velvet ribbon, and I'm no exception to that. I love a velvet ribbon. It's a real sumptuousness which just lends itself to a beautiful wreath. That said, I do love a nice shiny ribbon, and sometimes the velvet just doesn't cut the mustard on some wreaths. And so a wider, shinier, more voluptuous colour is available in, I don't know, a lovely satin ribbon. And so it's not always about the velvet ribbon, but having that velvet choice has become kind of par for the course, really. On my bespoke wreaths, I do offer hand-dyed velvet ribbons, but certainly not at my wreath workshops, because will make it even more expensive. And I'm trying to be generous with all of my ingredients, and so I tend to start accumulating lots of the ribbons in the months leading up to Christmas, and I always have lots left over. It's one of the things that does last from one year to the next, so I don't mind investing in ribbons. I can plunder them during the course of the year. But at Christmas, I just love to have lots and lots of choice. I want people to walk away from my wreath workshops and feel like I have absolutely given them the best of myself, and that my choice of ingredients that they've got to work with are as good as any of the wreaths that I am making and selling privately, not at the wreath workshop. And so I go out of my way to be generous. And that sometimes means between one workshop and another, I have to allocate, you know, a bucket of schemia. So I think since lockdown, when we had to divide up and we weren't just having a complete free-for-all with all the foliage, everybody gathering and congregating around one spot in the room, we started dividing up the foliage, and I ended up allocating bundles of foliage along the table, and then giving each wreath maker maybe a sprig of schemia, which has, like, as I say, five lovely bracts on it, and maybe actually some eucalyptus, because that has become hugely popular as well. So I have lots of different textures. I use things like moss, lovely grey Spanish moss, and I make sure that everybody has access to everything, and that one or two members of the workshop do not just go in and grab everything. I've seen that happen before, and it just leaves a really bad taste in my mouth and some of my fellow wreath makers. And so I sort of have to kind of go in politely and explain that I have allocated for this much skimmia per person, and if at the end of the workshop other wreath makers have decided not to use it, then they're very welcome to add it into their wreath later on. And if people don't like that, then I'm, you know, it is what it is. There is a limit to what I can offer. It's as generous, and it is generous, but it's as generous as I can make it. With regards to the ribbon, I always generously allocate at least a meter and a half of velvet ribbon per person, and I like there to be a long drop of ribbon. I want it to be generous. With regards to hanging it over a door, I can't afford to do that and keep it within the price, bearing in mind that I am paying for my time and all the time it's taken me to prep all of those ingredients, to moss all of those wreath bases, to hire a place, a venue, to provide all of the tea and the coffee. In my case, I have a host venue and we share the profits of the workshop. And I do have to price competitively, but I'm probably at the upper end of the pricing of wreaths when I look around me. And I'm confident about that. I'm happy to charge what I charge because I know that if they were to walk into a florist shop, you know, in somewhere like London, they'll be paying probably £150 for that wreath if with the same ingredients. And I feel like I'm giving them really good value for money. The location that I teach in is really lovely. But sometimes I've taught in the past in village halls and there's a really lovely community feel. We often make some mulled wine and some mince pies. And it's a lovely local collection of people who live in that community, and maybe they've brought friends and family with them. So it doesn't have to be a really fancy schmancy place. It can be somewhere, even if you have a lovely, I've taught in barns, cold barns, where I've had to remind people to come prepared if it's really, really cold on the days of the wreath making and they need to wear, you know, some thermals and, you know, bring hats and scarves and what have you so that they stay warm. So bear all of those things in mind, because it does discourage people. If they don't have a good experience, they're not going to come back next year. So over the years I've honed my wreath workshops. Some of them are charitable, some of them are private. I go to people's houses where they have their own selection of friends. I have done corporate wreath workshops, but my favourite ones are just my regular ones with my regular customers that come back year in, year out. Sometimes they come with a posse of friends or family. Sometimes they just come on their own. And it just heralds the beginning of Christmas. They hang that wreath on their door. Next stop is, when are we getting the Christmas tree? So I hope this has been really helpful. I genuinely love making wreaths. I just can't get enough. I'm slightly addicted to them. My wreath is the last wreath I make. And normally I have a Christmas wedding, and if I have any leftover foliage or flowers, I tend to push it into my wreath. And that may well include the luxury of a few beautiful jewel-like flowers. I don't use flowers in my wreath workshop ordinarily because I can't always guarantee that they're going to last from the beginning of December to the 25th of December. They usually do, but I just can't guarantee it. So I just stick to all the lovely ingredients of the seed heads, the berries, and all those other little bits and dried hydrangeas, etc., etc. But it's such fun, and having done it for so many years, it just feels like the start of Christmas for me. It really, really does. Just seeing all those familiar faces, just the same as all of the people that order bespoke wreaths from me that never really want to go to a wreath workshop at all. They just want me to make one, and that's always a pleasure too. Always a pleasure, and it just, for me, it's just the start of Christmas. I don't think I could not teach a workshop now. I really don't. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Lindsay returns in 2 weeks' time. And if you'd like to have a question answered from the mailbag on that edition, write to Linz via Instagram at The White Horse Flower. On our Patreon channel, which is linked to in your podcast player app, exclusive Day in the Life of a Florist recordings, as Lindsay takes you with her as she works. The extra snipping shows are only available on Patreon to those supporting the show. You can join through the White Horse Flower Company website. The show is a Loading Zone production.